Well, good morning, everyone. Let's open with a word of prayer this morning. Father, what an honor it is to bow down to you, the maker and creator of all things. Hearing us, willing to hear us, and inviting us to come boldly to your throne of grace, not to your throne of judgment. And so, Lord, we want to praise you. We want to worship you today. We want to acknowledge your majesty and just a little bit more maybe than normally. And as we think of nature and your power in it, as we read another nature psalm here through your servant David, and help us to just give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we have a psalm here today, 29, that you see in 1st and 2nd Chronicles. You see it quoted word for word in 1st Chronicles 16, I think it is. And also it's in Psalm 96 as well. But it is absolutely beautiful. And so I just want to ask you a couple of questions as we get started. What in nature has just absolutely blown you away? And all of us is probably a little something different. Some may say, well, a newborn baby, that would really be something, isn't it? Or we may say a sunrise or a sunset. John would probably say seeing Jupiter last night. But and we have all of these different things, crashing waves, particularly in a storm. I don't know if any of you ever been to Hawaii on the north side of Oahu or even the north side of Maui, northwest side. I mean, waves come in there like three times the height of this building, you know. And I mean, just such power, you know, just such awesome power. But for me, as growing up as a kid in the Midwest, thunderstorms were a way of life. And how many nights do you wake up with? And then when you would have a close lightning, you would feel the jolt. You'd feel the whole house shake, you know. And often we would say, that was a close one. And then sometimes you'd get up the next day and see one of these big trees just stripped with bark from the top all the way down to the bottom. And you just think of the force of that lightning, you know. Well, today we're going to look at really David as he is following a massive storm from Lebanon on down over Israel. And he's describing the majesty of God as he sees that storm. Speaking of his might, I just was thinking of a mighty fortress is our God. We don't sing that too often. That's actually Psalm 46, I think. But I thought we would sing that today because it is about the mighty God, and we want to give praise to the mighty God. So let's sing along, if you will. The words should be on the front page there for you if you want to follow that. A mighty fortress.
Jesus, it is He. Lord Sabaoth his name, from age to age the same, and he must win the battle.
Amen. So Psalm 29, think of this psalm really of a celebration of God's power. God's power. We don't know when David wrote this, but he would have obviously seen a lot of storms and those kinds of things as a shepherd boy outside much of the time and felt the forces of the wind and the power of the lightning and the noise of the thunder, as we will see in these things here, possibly even some earthquakes, as we will have here as well. But the first couple of verses are just a call to adornment, a call to adorn His majesty. And so we have three gives here in a row. So when you see this power and when you see and think of who He is, what do? Well, most of the time we probably ask, Lord, give me this, give me that, give me this. Lord, I've got this, I've got that, I've got this problem, I've got that problem. Whoa. Well, there's also the side of us that should say, we just want to give you thanks. We just want to give you praise. We just want to stand in awe of you. So David writes, give unto the Lord. Now, in this short little 11-verse psalm, the word Yahweh is used 18 times. So I would say this is a Yahweh-centered psalm, 18 times, including other pronouns for Yahweh. It's 25 times in this. That's 2 times a verse or more. So give unto the Lord, O you mighty ones. And there's a little conjecture on who that is. It probably has to do with the supernaturally powered angels, as well as could be the mighty people on earth. But it says ones. Anyway, whoever the mighty ones are, give unto the Lord. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due His name. And then this beautiful statement, I really love this. This is in 4 times in the Bible. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. That word beauty really means adornment. And you can just picture something really be beautifully adorned and really done well, right? I mean, not just ticky-tacky adornment, but really adorned beautifully. That's what we're talking about here. Adorn Him in His holiness. Worship the Lord in the beauty or the adornment of holiness. Now, that's kind of an interesting combination, isn't it? You adorn Him with holiness. And maybe you can get a picture of that, maybe you can't. I'm not sure what holiness looks like, but I know holiness is beautiful to Him, right? And now we go for a number of verses here, 3 to 9, of things to recognize the power of God in. And again, keep in mind, David is seeing a storm, a huge storm, coming down from Lebanon on down into Israel. And so he begins by saying, the voice of the Lord is over the waters. I don't know how many of you, I've heard it in prayer meetings before, Lord, speak to me, Lord, speak to me, Lord, speak to me. It's like, you know, the Lord has a voice. Now, we know He speaks in a still, small voice. But it's like, Lord, if you could only speak loud enough for me to hear you, then I would really follow you, you know, or whatever. Well, here's what His word sounds like in a way. The glory or God of glory thunders, His voice thunders. The Lord is over many waters. The voice of the Lord is awesome, is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. You start to get the feeling of just how difficult it is to describe the voice of the Lord. How would you describe it? Well, we see the next verse says, the voice of the Lord breaks cedars. Now, these are 200 feet tall cedars in Lebanon. Most of them have been gone by now, but they were very plentiful. And, of course, Hiram was cutting those down and sending them down to David and then to Solomon. But it would break it. And I really believe we're talking about lightning there in that regard, as I had mentioned earlier, remembering as a child, sometimes these close lightning at night, you'd hear them and you wonder, what did it hit? you know, what it hit, because it's just so close, it just shakes the whole house and everything. And you'd see this tree stripped from top all the way to the bottom where the lightning bolt went down it. So, but the voice of the Lord breaks the trees. And so if you want to get too boisterous with the Lord, and maybe you want him to speak loudly to you, just remember the tree that had the bark stripped off of it all the way down. I don't think you want that. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. Yes, the Lord splinters the cedars of Lebanon. He makes them also skip like a calf, Lebanon and Mount Hermon, like a young wild ox. Now, if you watch the lightning, particularly when it's off a little bit in the distance, you can just see it. It just goes down. It's just like this lamb skipping here. It just kind of skips, skips, skips. And particularly after late sunset, dusk, or even into the early part of night, man, it just brights up the whole sky. I mean, it's pretty dark, you know, and all of a sudden, man, this lightning goes off and it just lights up everything, everything. It's amazing the power of that. So we see then that he makes them skip like a calf. Lebanon and Sirion, or another name for Mount Hermon, like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord divides the flames of fire. And whether that's talking about lightning there or what, I don't know. But we have the voice of the Lord can do anything, anywhere. And then we have verse 8, the voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. Now, maybe that's another time that you are more amazed at the power of God, when you're sitting in an earthquake and you know that you can't stop it, and you know that no man can stop it, you know that no legislation can stop it, you know that nobody can stop it. And we read in Isaiah that in the final times, the whole earth will shake like a drunkard. You know, we can get all mixed up over just one little local earthquake, right? What the damage that can do. Think about when that's worldwide. The whole earth shaking. Anything that can fall will come down. Amazing. But here he says, the voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. Now that's on down into Israel. And then we have, this is an interesting statement, the voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth. It's like, no matter what's happening in this storm, it's time for you, boom. And they get scared and they just give birth. You know? The voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth and strips the forest bare. Obviously can do that in a hailstorm very easily, but it can also do it with just severe enough winds. I was in Hong Kong last year when they had that world-class typhoon, 130 miles an hour wind, and you just see trees, particularly those that are kind of between buildings where the velocity probably was closer to 200 miles an hour because of the wind coming through, and you just strip it. There's not a leaf on it, you know. And this is talking about the whole forest. He strips the forest bare. And then in his temple, and I believe we're talking about nature there. I don't think we're talking about the physical building. And is his temple, everyone says glory. Glory is used four times in this little psalm. And it's just, even nature shouts out, glory to the Lord, glory to the Lord, glory to the Lord. Even in a fallen world. Can you imagine what it's going to be when all of the wickedness, all the sin is dealt with, and we have the thousand-year millennial reign, and then we'll come to the end of that, and then we have the new Jerusalem, we'll have a new heaven and a new earth. Can you imagine what that's going to be like? I know we can imagine, but we can't really imagine because we don't know. But it's going to be glory, I can tell you that. Verse 10 is an interesting verse. The Lord sat enthroned at the flood. The flood of Noah was a pretty big deal, right? And you would think that, you know, God might be on his toes watching and seeing, is this all going the way it's supposed to go? Is that water finding a place to go and this and that and everything else? No, the Lord is just sitting. He's at peace. He's not like Baal. Now, the god of weather in those days, particularly in the Israel area, was Baal, right? Baal was responsible for good weather, bad weather, and, you know, Baal was always prowling about, and they didn't know what he was going to do because they thought in bad weather he was angry, in the good weather he wasn't, and all. And, of course, we know in Elijah on Mount Carmel, they were trying to wake him up because he didn't hear anything from him when he was also the god of fire. So having the fire come down at Mount Kalmar was really a poke in Baal's eye, wasn't it? At any rate, we see here Yahweh sits enthroned at the flood, total peace. And Yahweh sits as king forever. Isn't that great? I mean, think of King George or whoever you want to think of. Maybe they reign as much as 50 years or 60 years. But they die. We have a king forever. Beautiful. The Lord sits as king forever. The Lord, Yahweh, will give strength to his people. That is a beautiful statement. And the following one as well, the Lord will bless his people with peace. So just rest assured, no matter what you're going through, whether you think you're going down for the third time and your only one nostril is still open before you drown or whatever, think of the power of the Lord. Think of his strength and think of how much he loves you. And you're just in his hands. You're in the best place you can be, right? And you don't think he's got enough strength to take care of your enemies? Oh, you don't know the enemies, right? They're so huge. Oh, come on. Your enemies are nothing compared to the Lord. They're all under his control. The Lord will give strength to his people. I love that promise. The Lord will bless his people with peace. How much peace do you have right now? How much peace do you have today? And if you feel weak, if you feel involved in turmoil, just ask to be filled with the Holy Spirit and ask the Lord to give you strength and give you peace. Right? Praise him. Father, we thank you for this psalm which reminds us of your power. And we want to just celebrate your power. And Lord, as we have the opportunity now to pray for others, to pray for the church, and to pray for leaders and kings and those in authorities and just the body here and all the bodies of Christ, really, Lord, lead us in this time of prayer in Jesus' name. Can it be that you would love us so much, care for us so much? Lord, forever and ever and ever and ever you have promised we will be with you, Lord. Help that promise, that living hope to shine forth through each of our lives today, Lord. May we be that walking gospel, that living sacrifice, Lord. And may your will be done in each and every nook and cranny that you put us in today, Lord. You've got us here for a special reason, each of us. And there will be those opportunities, Lord, to shine for you or to run for cover or whatever, Lord. But just help us, strengthen us, and may we honor you and give you all glory and praise. Bless each one who came, Lord. I thank you for them. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.